Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
That particular principle. Actually, there are a number of items or things you might come across in the scripture that you may not find everywhere. They are not everywhere. You know, you just find them here or there. So I like to refer to them as principles that you can, you know, use once in a while, or things you can fall back on here or there. But there are other things you may find in scripture that are mentioned more than once. And the principle for interpretation is that you must have at least two or three witnesses for the truth to be established. All right? I'm saying this in respect to our subject tonight. And tonight I'm talking about breaking the edge. Okay, so you may want to title this message, Six Ways Christians Break the Edge. Or you may want to label it how the different ways in which a Christian can break the edge and let the serpent in. So what do we mean by breaking the edge? I think it might be helpful for us to first of all read Ecclesiastes chapter, I believe it's chapter 8, chapter 10, and verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, that's a popular scripture. It says, "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaks an edge, a serpent will bite him." So in the A part of that scripture establishes a principle that many of us do not consider, which this is not our focus for today. But since we are reading it, let me just say it. Sometimes you may find people who are seeking for revenge. Or maybe you might even be listening to me now and you think that you deserve to get vengeance on a particular matter. What the scripture says here is that if you dig a pit, you have become qualified to fall into it. There are people who come to church and say, "Pastor, please pray. I don't know why I'm having this problem." And you may be praying and you may not really find a reason why God is not answering that prayer. Sometimes those prayers are not answered because it is the cry of vengeance. Maybe something their parents did, maybe something they did. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't remember because that incident might have happened, say, 5 years ago. You've forgotten. So that's the A part we are looking at. So I'm saying this because the scripture also establishes that vengeance is mine. So anytime you feel pressured to go the way of vengeance, please speak to someone. Speak to a believer. Speak to a Christian. Speak to someone who can help you through that phase. Because many times your anger may be justified. You might have been truly hurt. But vengeance is not the way that God has recommended for us. God says, "Vengeance is mine." If you feel so pressed that you must do something to hurt another fellow, please don't pray. Speak to another Christian. It seems that when we speak to other Christians, they are able to counsel us, they are able to guide us, they are able to appeal to us. Some will even beg you, "Please, sir, forgive. Let it go." So that's just an aside from the A part of that scripture. Because the moment you decide to go in that path, you might succeed. But the scripture says, because you have dug a pit, you must fall into it. That step in the direction of vengeance is you digging a pit. And the scripture did not even guarantee the person you dug that pit for will fall inside. It said you. So the way of the cross is not the way of vengeance. The reason why Jesus died was to take away God's vengeance from us. So please, I just want to encourage you to please note that. However, we have somewhere in the B part of that scripture, Praise God. Are you still here? He says, whosoever breaks the edge, the serpent shall bite him. So what does it mean from verse 8? When he says, whosoever breaks an edge, the serpent will bite. What that means is that there are certain laws, there are certain walls, there are certain parameters that God has put in place, both in nature and in the spiritual realm. And God really does not expect us to cross those lines. When you begin to cross those lines, you open up yourself to certain things that God may not be able to save you, you know, because sometimes it can be too late. It can be too late. It's not as if God cannot save anybody, but God has clearly told you that there are certain areas you should not cross. If you, it's just like you going to the beach and knowing you cannot swim, and then you decide to walk on water. And then maybe for a while, it seemed you are walking on water until you got to a part of the sea. You are now far away from the land. You now realize that it's like you are seeing different colors. You can see mermaids. You are just seeing things, you know. You now begin to like, ah, if I decide to run back to land, I'm already far away. And Satan has a way of making you come far enough so that even if you want to pray, by the time you see the waves, your faith will fail. You know, so it's not a smart thing to say, I did it before and nothing happened. Because Satan has a way of allowing you come far enough. So when the waves start blowing, you just realize that, naked I came into the world and naked I shall return. So the edge speaks about a spiritual place or parameter that God has put around us. And many of these things are established in scripture. And God says, do not break this edge. Why? The only reason why Satan cannot touch you is because you are on this other side of the world. It's not as if Satan respects you. It's just that God has made it that he's unable to touch you. And it's not because of your prayer life. It's because God put certain parameters that you have been respecting. The day you decide to start flouting it, every day. One day, Samson will just wake up and realize that the Holy Spirit has left him. Whether you're a pastor, or you're a deacon, or you're a church member, or an unbeliever, you are not exonerated. You are not that special to think that the rules don't apply to you. So we are going to consider a few of these things. There are many of them, but the ones that I know are very critical to us in this part of the world, we are going to look at some of them. All right, so please remember, there's a serpent on the other end, and that serpent is called Satan. Now, without wasting time, let's consider the first edge that as Christians we must not break. Number one, deliberate disobedience to God's word. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19. Hallelujah. It says, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, it shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do, you skipped. Whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So let's hold on here. Now, this particular scripture, even though it pertains to pastors more, however, we are all involved. And our Lord Jesus clearly stated, there are two sins you can commit here. One of the sins here is for you to be a lawbreaker. Breaking the law automatically exposes you. Then if you find a revelation or a scripture to support your wayward lifestyle, then Jesus says there's going to be a very big problem, because now it's not just about you breaking the law. You are teaching others to do so. You know, we live in a time now where if you want to be a very great pastor, a very big pastor, one of the things you can do is to teach people to break the law. How do we do that? We tell people that it doesn't matter. And we started this thing innocently. It didn't just start today. It first started many years ago when we were in church. And then, you know, Jerry Coyle started becoming very popular. So there was the Jerry Coyle, the one that looks like Michael Jackson's hair. Then there was the Pemmin. It was becoming very popular. So a lot of Christians started preaching against it. But what we now noticed then was that those churches who were preaching against it started losing their members. And then we started wondering, why, where is everybody? We now noticed they were going to this other church. What's happening there? Oh, they are preaching the word of God. The living word. The word of God is so exciting here. It's not like that place, everything, thou shalt not. Then we decided to visit the church. And we found the pastor telling us, we have been called to liberty in Christ. And people will shout, yes! You have liberty in Christ. It's not by works of righteousness. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. And is that a lie? It's not a lie. However, you have brought up this scripture to justify why many of our brethren today are perming their hair. And so this message is not about perming your hair. I'm just giving you an example. Both of them are wrong. Let me just tell you now. Both those who say perm and those who say don't perm, they are wrong. But some people play to the gallery and it favored them. Alright? Their churches became so full. And God doesn't want any church to be small. Alright? But how you go about it can be a problem for even God. So, but I look back now. You know, I was a Christian then. I look back now. I don't even know any of those churches today. There are no more. Most of them are not in existence again. So it was a momentary revival. It was not a genuine experience. You are better off walking alone with the Lord, such that a day will come. Look, everybody, look up. I hope you know that there are 50 years ago. 50? 20 years ago. The people of influence that we see on TV, the people that are always in the news in Nigeria, are not the people in the news now. When you were in secondary school, the people you see on NTA News and you listen to on radio, they always talk about them. Many of them are dead. We are only going to be here for a very short time. If you live your life playing to the gallery, you would have broken so many edges that maybe God may not even find such a person worthy to live on it. So we started removing several edges. And then we now live in an age now where we've even taken it pro max. So how you know that we have a big problem is that you can visit, and I challenge you to just go online, listen, pick like 7 churches, popular churches, listen to their Sunday messages for like 3 Sundays. Just play it online, or 4 Sundays. And ask yourself one question only. With what I have just heard, assuming I'm a part of this church, would I grow spiritually? You will now realize that many of us have deviated willfully from the word of God, but we did it stylishly. Because we didn't want to upset people, we now went to the areas that everybody is comfortable with. And because Pastor Tokwe has decided he's going to insist on the word of God, nobody fought with him. People just started moving. But let me tell you, the same way that when the flood came, only 8 people out of hundreds of thousands were found worthy. And Jesus, our Lord, also told us that before he comes, it will be like the day of Noah. Are you with me? What that means is that most people will turn back from Christ. Are you with me? But they'll be coming to church. They'll be choosing the teachers they want to hear, which will make it easy for them to deliberately disobey God. So, this way you can break the edge, remove it completely, and the serpent comes in and it begins to bite. We must be careful of things that are shiny but put us in direct rebellion against God. You know, there are some animals, you know, like on Sunday we were talking about snakes and scorpions. And one of the things I mentioned on Sunday is that Jesus was using animals. And in fact, not just Jesus. Throughout scripture, you will notice that spirits are sometimes described using animals to depict the kind of spirit that they carry or they have. So when you see a goat, what does that depict? Stubbornness. A better word is rebellion. Rebellion. So you just put some food here, maybe maize or corn. Put it here. It's not the fact that you try to restrict the goat from getting to the corn. It's that the goat will keep turning. You see, the goat keeps turning. It wants to go behind you while you are still there to go and pick that thing quickly. So a goat represents the spirit of rebellion. Now, do you also know there's this particular, you know, in the occult, the Illuminati and all of that, you know, a goat is their symbol. Huh? A goat that sits on a throne. And they have a sign or something like this. Or something, whatever. I'm not their member, but I mean, so they have something like a horn, like something like that. So people who see, they think it's cool. And you see that many of your popular artists, singers, they always use that sign. Some presidents of world nations, including America, use that sign. It's not like they are being trying to be cool. Huh? They are being rebellious. If you say stubbornness, you make it look like something that is random. Rebellion is a deliberate act to be stubborn. And when you are rebellion, you break the edge. In fact, Samuel was speaking to Saul and he said that rebellion is what? As the sin of witchcraft. So rebellion is not just stubbornness, it's worse. What rebellion means is that even when you are there, there's an attempt to force you to do the right thing, you still take a position against the word of God. When you know that this is what the word of God clearly states, but because that thing that God says is no more popular, because no pastor is talking about it, you feel you can do it and get your ultimate, oh, maybe God has changed his mind. God didn't change his mind. That's why I gave you the Bible. So even if your pastor is not talking about it, you have the responsibility to check it. So the first way that a lot of Christians break the edge of protection around them is by willful disobedience to God's word. You know God has said something and you are making an excuse for yourself and say, well, I don't know, it just happened. It just happened? It just broke the edge. Number two, this one is very popular. This one is very popular, even among many matured Christians. And it happens so quietly that you might not even know the edge has been removed. Not broken, no, removed. What am I talking about? Unforgiveness and bitterness. Unforgiveness and what? Please, can you say it after me? Unforgiveness and bitterness. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I hope I have this right. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. It said, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it for your sake, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should what? Let's read verse 11 together. Lest Satan should what? An advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Can you give this to me in Message or Amplified? Now, this guy is Pastor, Apostle Paul is talking to Christians, an entire church, people who are in the righteousness of God. And he started talking about Satan getting an advantage. Meanwhile, you may be going to a particular place and they are telling you, it doesn't matter what the people say. Bro, you got to calm down, man, because you might be standing in front of a cobra now. And you may not even know that the wall has been taken off. He said, after all, we don't want to unwittingly, give Satan an opening for yet more mischief. For we are not oblivious to his sly ways. Sly there, cunning ways. Satan will never come to you and say, good morning, my name is Lucifer. No. He knows the moment he does that, Shanda Yekaba, Shanda, Shanda, you begin to speak in tongues. He will never do it. He's wise. He will give you a good reason to be angry. And truly, you may be offended. But the moment you become bitter, it is now your fault. You might have been truly offended. The person might have truly hurt you, offended you. But if you allow that thing linger, it becomes unforgiveness and what? Bitterness. Look at what the brother said. He says, so that Satan will not get an advantage. You know what an advantage means? Have you ever seen, I don't know, maybe it's all this, is it marathon races? You're on the pitch and you're running and then you come so close to another person and he tries to use his hand to pull you back, right? Even in football, when you do that, what does the referee do? He blows the whistle. He calls it a foul, all right? You are trying to gain undue advantage. And listen to me, man does it to man. Why do you expect Satan not to do it? But the scripture is saying that Satan cannot get this advantage over you if you don't allow it. And sometimes you may be angry for just no reason. It's just you being feeling like you are too important. That's all. Just like you feeling nobody apologized to you. Or maybe you are not in church, nobody checked on you. Or maybe, but you are sick at the office, nobody called you, but you showed up the next day. Even though the church is not your office. But at least you could have also sent a message. I'm not feeling too well. Then we'll come check on you. Sometimes the reasons we give for our anger, even Satan is amazed. He doesn't understand it. Even Satan, that is looking for a way to oppress you, say, this Martin. Satan is this Martin. Unforgiveness. And what are we talking about when we speak of unforgiveness? It is a decision not to let go of a matter, even when reparation has been made, when someone has tried to appeal to you. And let me tell you this. Sometimes, if you are not careful, in the process of resolving a matter, if you don't protect your heart, you will get into the trap of the enemy. What do I mean? Somebody hurts you, and then someone tries to mediate, and the other lady just, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know you felt, she just throwing her finger, just carry your problem and go, you know. I didn't know. I thought we were all cool. I thought everybody else, like, matured, but I didn't know you were. You are still insulting. You are still insulting me. See, I'm sorry, Sister Moreni Keji. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were hot. I'm sorry. So you're like, Meanwhile, when Brother John goes to the pastor, he'll say, they have resolved. In fact, she apologized. This is not an apology. But Brother John is just waiting. He just wants to say, okay, at least she has begged. Don't worry, God will say to him. No. The mistake you make sometimes, you can see somebody's being mischievous. Don't expect the other person to be matured. Somebody's being mischievous and you can see it. Sorry. If you want to apologize, do it properly. What is sorry? Sorry. You too, forget now. It's a small thing. It is not, okay, let me do my own. Let me step on you. And the shoes I'm wearing, you will have to go to the hospital because one of your toes will be broken. A lot of us don't make it easy for others to forgive and move on. Because by the time I get to my money, was that actually an apology? It's just like, just leave me. Sorry, Joe. What is sorry, Joe? Yeah, like, are you sorry or not? So most times you leave the place feeling like you are supposed to be healed of what happened, but you leave offended, even worse. And that is where Satan waits for you. Because now you cannot go to anybody and say, she didn't apologize. But there's something that was wrong about the apology that you couldn't even place. And you became even more hurt by the fact that the person even apologized. And then the root of bitterness begins to come in. Bitterness now, you can't even, once you get to the point of bitterness, what you notice is that you can't even stand the sight of that person. When you see that person coming in church, or maybe the usher put you together on the same row, that's the day pastor will say, give your neighbor a high five. In fact, maybe we should do it on Sunday, like, just tell people to mix up this. We'll be watching who is not, because that's one of the areas you can know where the bitterness is. So just give your neighbor a high five. Say, Oh, there's something wrong here. Please, Sister Morenike, and please see the pastor after this. We are now sitting on the altar. See the pastor after. I say, okay, sorry, what's going on? Because no, pastor, nothing. I just like to mind my business. You like to mind your business? Okay, sit down. Both of you sit down. Get them water. They want to mind. And you see, Christians are the most terrible with this thing. It's so easy for you to spiritualize your bitterness. I say, no, I just want to give them some space. I just like my name. I just want to seek God. I need some. When you start hearing those things, say, just put the Bible beside that thing. You'll be seeing red light coming. Pam, 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 like a siren. Pam, pam. It's okay to be angry. That's what I'm telling you. It's okay to be angry. It's okay for you to go to him and say, that thing you did, I am angry. Don't spiritualize it. Don't make her feel like it's nothing. You are angry. You say, we are matured in Christ. Don't be matured so that we can resolve the problem. That's the problem. People don't talk in church. They expect everybody to be matured. No! I am not matured. And I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be angry. And when I'm angry, I expect someone to be able to come and say, Pastor David, you and Pastor Kwe, you are fighting. What happened? And when they ask you, what happened? Is that time for you say, no, I don't want to talk about it. No, it's one of those things. I just like to process. Hey, I said, I thought you're a pastor. I said, yeah, you are processing. What are you processing? Two of you are not talking. What are you processing? You see, because we are Christians, we know all the passages we can use to cover ourselves. And let me just tell you, there is no holiness you have that permits you to separate yourself from the body that God will justify you for. Are you hearing me? I said there is no... Go and ask those who are in the occult. Even when they're angry at each other. Go and ask them. The way they... You will not know. They will... And once the grandmaster calls them and says, this thing is over. That's it. A lot of Christians have exposed themselves and you start having a lot of satanic attacks. You start having nightmares. You start having problems. You start losing your customers. You are not making so much money in your business. And you think it's because it's raining. No, sir. The enemy has come in. Because many times, the bitterness and the unforgiveness will come back to bite you. Satan will come in through another window. You will not even relate it. You will not relate the attack to the unforgiveness. Some are even so terrible, they will start dreaming about the person. Start dreaming. Say, that sister, I'm telling you, she's a witch. See, this is a pastor. She's a witch. She came to me. I dealt with her in the dream. Yeah. Like, it's not Manzan Fimo. Like, two people are actually talking. Like, you're supposed to be a Christian, for Christ's sake. You've opened the door. And what did Paul say? The moment you enter into this zone, no matter how anointed you are, Satan will have an edge over you. No matter how powerful you are. Even if you pray 10 hours every day, forget it. Once Satan comes and raises the offside flag, you know what they call offside? Eh? Offside. Our sisters, do you know what they call offside? In football, once the referee raises his hand, even if you notice nobody's moving again, you are the only one. You now get to the post. You're not even the keeper just watching you. You took the ball from the midfield. After the sideline referee, what do you call those guys by the side? The linesman. He has raised his hand. You notice nobody's moving again. That's how powerful that hand is. You are not saying, hey, this is my opportunity. This is my, you now started running. Try running. Now you have energy. I will score. I will show her that I'm also anointed. I will show him. Everybody's like, what is she doing? What is that brother doing? It sounds funny. Satan like, this guy. Do you know what happens to such people? I don't even think anybody has done that in recent years. But what would have happened to you is that not only will that goal be disqualified, you might get a yellow card. Is that not so? And if you have a previous yellow, what happens to you? You are taken out. You are decapitated. Your spiritual powers are nullified. Your spiritual connection to God is taken. You will now be exposed to the torment of Satan. And you'll be thinking, everybody's bad, everybody's evil, there's no love in church, there's no love in your own life. Forget it, everybody's happy in church. Are you here? You must resist it. The moment you see that you are hot to the point where you want to make some decisions, go to a brother in church or to a sister and report yourself. That's the solution, no? Hey, are you with me? Don't say, oh, I'm going to know God will tell. God will not tell you anything. What he will tell you is with another sister. It's going to come from another brother. That brother will say, Sister Busayo, this thing is unfortunate, though. Let's pray. He will first pray for you. He will not say, Sister Busayo, okay. He will counsel you. He will encourage you. He will tell you some things. He will tell her, but Sabusa, I don't really know you as someone that gets angry. This must be an attack from the enemy. He would best just tell something. Say, you know what? I know that person. I'll go and quarrel with him. I'll go and rebuke him. You too, you not fear her. She understands me. You will not calm down. You too, we go to Brother Tokpe. Brother Tokpe, why did you talk to Sabusa like that? I say, me? He did not even know. He didn't know. You're having a mood swing. You interpreted his good evening as good night. And that's where the problem started. Anger. And because he walked away, you just say, unforgiveness has started. Then bitterness. The day you are walking past the church and you see his child fall on the ground. Let everybody take care of his own child. My own mother is not here. Nobody is taking care of me. Let everybody take care of his own child. Amen and amen. Uh-huh. So you must watch out for unforgiveness. And again, don't forget the antidote. The moment you find that you are becoming bitter, don't pray. Don't speak in tongues. Go and report yourself to the nearest Christian. Not the one that will tell you, I've always known her. That's how she did to Sister Shalaza from Kenya. That's how she did to... this one, we must deal with her. If I tell you my own, I just didn't talk. Oh, nobody knew. If I tell you what that sister, you start adding fuel. Please, when they bring the matter to you, don't add fuel to it. Number three, what's the first point? Willful disobedience, deliberate disobedience to God's word. Number two, unforgiveness and bitterness. Number three, sexual immorality. Sexual sin, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Shun immorality. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without his body. But he that committed fornication sins against it. So go back to the previous version. Go back to the former. Is it Amplified or which one? Shun immorality and all sexual lewdness. You see the word lewdness? Sexual lewdness. Nudity. In the name of fashion. It's part of sexual lewdness. Whether you're a brother, some brothers will say they work at a gym. Say a Christian brother in the choir, but he works at a gym. So he will come on Facebook to show us how he's working out half naked. His lewdness. You don't know who you are. If you know who you are, you will not do what you are doing. I know some of them from the north. They go to very vibrant church. Now they've graduated from school. You see them online now. They say they are working at the gym. They are doing that. You don't even have to. You can use your mind to fill in the blanks. There's nothing. They are not putting on anything. Looseness. A lot of people don't think they are loose when they are nude. Huh? They don't think they are loose when they are nude. So, and they are even so bold about it. And we have some women who are also 50 years, 55, who encourage such madness. You know, but their pastor did not correct them. So the thing spread. Put up that scripture. It says, flee from impurity in how many things? In thought, in word, or what? Indeed. Those are the three areas. He said, any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his body. And believe me, this statement, sin against your body, is another message. I have to, because a lot of people are believing that they don't know what it means. It's not for today. I will come on another day, say, oh, message. But let me give you an idea. What Paul is saying here, partly, is that when you participate in sexual sins, for instance, when you lie, when you lie, Paul says that lie is outside your body. So in my mind, like, what does Paul mean by out of my body? And why is this particular about the sin of sexual immorality? And this, what I'm saying now, is not to judge you. It's just for you to learn. And we all learn every day to become better. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when you commit sexual sin, God says you have violated your own body. It's as though you took a knife and began to cut your own body. Which means the damage you have done to yourself is more than what you have envisaged, because you will be left with scars and brokenness. Every other sin that you commit, you can ask for forgiveness and walk away. When you commit sexual sin, you leave your body and your temple broken. Broken. Which means you are never in the same state you were, no matter how interesting or how fun it was. You are not in the same state. Even if God forgives you, that temple is broken. You have violated your body. Your body was God's gift to you. And when you violate it, the value drops, everything drops, the glory leaves you. And that's why the scriptures in the book of Proverbs, that through sexual sin, a mighty man can be turned into a piece of bread, a slice. A mighty man, someone who went to war and did well and got the victory. Somebody who went to the office, did a presentation, and the whole world celebrated him. But the moment he begins to go into sexual sin, he begins to deteriorate. That is why a lot of people go into sexual sin and they pick up other spirits. Because what happens to you when you sin sexually is that you exchange spirits. You pick up, if the person has a foundational curse in his life, you pick it up. If you have glory, you give it to him. Why do you think many of those who go into the occultic world, they will tell them that every 10 days, you must sleep with a virgin. You must do this. Because they need to pick something somewhere to renew whatever they have given you. Hallelujah. Are you still here? We must flee sexual sin, because when you begin, and let me tell you this. You may do it the first time and nothing will happen. The moment you begin to practice it, when I say practice, once a week, once every 2 weeks, anytime you see you do it, or related matters, and you don't stop. You see the edge. You see what Satan does? It's like you watch Prison Break. Huh? They use some sharp object. They start scraping the wall. You will not feel it. All the prisoners are intact. One day you just realize that your powerhouse, where God kept the anointing in your spirit, is gone. Then the day you now realize something is wrong is, all the things you used to do effortlessly, all the spirits that could not challenge you, when you are coming, they know you are coming, they clear from the road. Even LASMA officers will begin to challenge you. You now say, ah, Don't you know me? They say, why are you Oga Park? Yeah, neighborhood watch. What do you call those guys now? Neighborhood watch, yeah. They just say, Oga Park. Well, you people did not clear your soak away. Say, don't you know me? Say, why? I don't care. There was a man that was arrested. I said, I will not joke today. There's a man that was arrested around here. His car was impounded. So the man was saying, do you know who I am? If you impound this car, he was telling the last man guy. He said, if you impound this car, it is the commissioner of, who is the commissioner in charge of last man? The head of that. Is it transport? Or something. He said, he's the one that will bring the car to my house. That's what he said. He said, your best option, he said, your best option is just to let me go. Say, Oga, you followed one way. He said, it doesn't matter. So the Lasma officer, to the risk of his own career, impounded the car. That let the commissioner come and take it out. Well, the following week, you know, usually it's weekend, those kind of things will happen. So on Monday, they saw the guy came to the they said, no, now you have to face the court. Right? So they were waiting. The commissioner did not come. Then they saw the man going to pay the fine. He was going to pay the fine, though. Like, he came. He said, I want to clear my car. He said, Oga, what about the commissioner? He could not talk. You know how those things used to do? I bind you, evil spirit, in the name of Jesus. And sometimes evil spirits are not sure if you have the power. But the way you are vibrating, they say, let's respect him more. But one day, the evil spirit just say, we'll not go. We'll not go. Why? The moment there's sexual sin, you become a habitation of demons. In your body, you have taken so many spirits. Spirits of anger here. Spirits of looseness here. You now realize you can't stop again. You can't stop. If you want to, but you can't stop. This is one of the greatest weapons that Satan deploys to remove the edge around Christians. He did it with Samson and it worked. In fact, with Samson did not even know that the Holy Spirit had left him. That's the thing about sexual sin. You will not know. You may still come the next Sunday and preach. And people say, oh my God, hallelujah, power, power, power. You see, the iron is still hot, but it has been disconnected. 3 weeks later, you want to preach, you just say, hallelujah. Somebody shout, hallelujah. Give your neighbor. Is this pastor? He say, no. The words don't sound as heavy as they used to sound. Like something is wrong. Then over the next few, people now know, it's like, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong here. You must protect your spirit. You must protect your mind. Because if the person you are sleeping with is covenanted to an altar, you are in trouble. You're in trouble. Let me tell you something today. You see, many of our friends who tell us there's no need for deliverance. Haven't you heard such people before? They'll tell you, you don't need deliverance. You don't need to just follow the word of God. Go and check many of them. Their concentration level is high. Are you with me? They tell you there's no need for deliverance. Meanwhile, you are still watching Dancing Salomes on Instagram. Those guys don't keep Instagram accounts. They have conditioned the environment that for sin to enter, it will break through the wall of the house. They only watch channels television and Arise News. They don't watch Nollywood movies. They don't watch love stories. They don't watch high school movies. All those things that people, ladies will tell you, I like high school love. It's a lie. You are lost in. You need help. They don't do it. So the moment you come to the house, they will tell you from the onset, we don't watch this kind of movies here. We don't wear this kind of clothes. This man is too difficult. That's the reason why the man kept shouting, you don't need deliverance. I don't need deliverance. Because he has built an edge around himself that he only sees God. And there is something about foundational sickness and disease and everything. When you live a holy life, they are weakened. Are you with me? When you are living a holy life, even if those things, it's just like somebody who has the SS gene but doesn't fall sick. AS gene. There's a sickle cell gene there, but the thing is just there. It doesn't work. In fact, they even boast, say we will not get malaria.
They say, you will now be saying, why am I not AS? Oga, you better stay where you are. Those are one brother. He said, by the grace of God, when I gave my life to Christ, up to now, 13 years, I've not taken my life. Are you see? He? Which is me? I'm your pastor. I don't have this kind of this. I still have malaria sometimes, or too many times, in fact. Later, I discovered that the brother is AS. I say, this is why the brother not the fall sick. The brother, I went to God. Heal me. See, this pastor talk say he doesn't fall sick. How can I be pastoring somebody that doesn't fall sick? I'm falling sick. I say, God, you must do it. God say, God, okay, go and see. I say, no, you must do it. Eventually, I realized that it's AS. So all the time, he thought it was divinely. It was the gene that was strong. Have you seen someone said, if I feel sick or feverish, I'll just go and sleep. When I wake up, I'm okay. So you see that? So they are in that WhatsApp group. So where is it looking at you? You now be saying, God, why can't I be like Brother Gospel? My right, you better go and treat yourself and stop. Don't compare yourself to his anointing. His own, once he sleeps and wakes up, he will be all right. You, with all the sin you are committing, go and take malaria treatment. Hallelujah. So must watch out for sexual immorality. And if you look at the scripture, the word there is defiles. It defiles, sexual sin defiles your body and your soul. It defiles you. It stains you. It stains you. Defile means to stain. So it's not that you don't feel like doing it, but you have enough reason not to do it. You have enough reason because you know that this thing, it doesn't respect faith. It doesn't respect anointing. In fact, the anointing might be the reason why you even do it. What number? Number five. Number four now. We remove the edge when we neglect the discipline of prayer and fasting. A weak prayer life can leave you spiritually vulnerable. Having a sound prayer life is just like working out. It's like going to the gym and you do it regularly. You just notice that sometimes when people have certain type of sickness, you don't break down on time. You may find that there's traffic all the way from Obalende to Iyanaoro. And everybody's walking on the third Milan Bridge. Most people will not be able to come to work the next day. But because you work out, that's the day you will know the value of exercise, daily exercise. That's why I see a lot of our folks who do all this hard labor like cutting rocks, they rarely fall sick. Their body has adjusted. I am not in any way telling to go and register in a gym. I am willing to register in the gym when I am sure that my spiritual life will be protected. But until then, I'll be doing everything in my parlor. Because now, we have to go to the gym. Then when you go there, Satan is waiting. I don't know how Christians, fervent Christians, who go to the gym and maintain their fire, they need to come and explain to us how they do, because I don't know. So I admit that I need to be upgraded. So come and explain to us. Is it that you are speaking? Because that place is like the seat of Satan. You are just minding your bed. One girl just come to you. Could you help me? I want to do, carry something. Let me snap my pictures. Take a video. This one, you know I'm a man of God. And while you are trying to focus, you'll be focusing on other things. Then the lady doesn't know because she thinks you are like her. You will now go home. You can't stop thinking about her. You can't pray. You can't focus. You are now battling with your soul. Meanwhile, the girl asks you, what's your name? Say, I'm Timothy. Then she's projecting witchcraft against you. Because now, she is happy. But you, as a Christian, you did not come for service. You are going to a gym. Now, they have caught you. So, if someone can start a good, healthy gym for Christians, I'll be happy to be your first member there. But before then, I'm not your customer. Amen. But if I can pray for you, God will bless you, but I'm not your customer.
Maintaining a prayer life, we can look at the scripture in 1 Corinthians 5:17, where he says that we should pray without ceasing. Pray when you are in the car, pray when you are in the bus, pray when you are in the classroom, pray when you are at work, pray when you go to the restroom, even if it's for 1 minute. Don't let your voice be far from heaven. Don't let your voice. There are many attacks that happen in the spirit realm. The only reason why we didn't know that we were targeted is because God did not allow us see it. And that's why sometimes when those things come close to us, everybody panics. But imagine other things God has been doing for you that you never knew. So what do you think happens if you begin to pray? Don't wait till you are in a crisis mode to begin to pray. Learn how to pray. Learn how to pray. Learn. No, there's no anointing. Learn how to pray. Learn how to pray. Because if Satan targets you because you have no prayer life, you may not have a very strong stand because they may come to you at a time of the night and you don't have a car. They will target you in the middle of the night. Your faith you will not even think of prayer. You say, doctor, okay, doctor. You get to the hospital, doctor, they say he's sleeping, or he went to the next hospital. You just realize that you put yourself in a very tight spot and you don't know what to do. Don't break the edge. God told us, pray, do not, he said, pray without ceasing. It's for a reason. Do you think God would just say, oh, learn how to pray because he wants to punish you? He said, pray with, please let me tell your neighbor, pray without ceasing. Now, let me tell your neighbor, learn how to pray. There's only one way to learn how to pray, and that's by praying. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, and this is very important. Jesus said, pray, watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. Which means one of the ways to preserve your spirit against falling into the hands of Satan is by living a prayerful life. Are you there? Are you still here? Say one of the ways. Look at what he said in the Amplified. He said, all of you must keep awake. Give strict attention. Be cautious and active. Watch and pray so that you may not come into the temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh, your spirit may desire to do the right thing. Your spirit may desire to follow God. But if you don't have the prayer backing, you will still fall. Now, even after you've prayed, you will still need the mercy of God to stand. Are we together? But you see, mercy is a gift to people who know they need God's grace. And one of the ways you show God that you know you are in need of his grace is when you come to him in prayer. Is that not so? When you come to God and say, God, I cannot do it on my own. I need your grace. I need your help. Then God will supply mercy to strengthen you. A man who does not pray is a proud man before God. No matter your revelation. And I look at how the people talk about this thing. It's not by how many hours of prayer. I know it's not by how many hours. But sir, are you praying 5 hours? I know it's not by how many hours. I know it's not by eating 3 times a day. So how many times do you eat? Are you eating? The discipline of prayer is not for the weak. Only those, I don't know anybody that prays for hours, that preaches against prayer. And if you want to find anything in scripture, you can find any loophole and use it and say, it's not by works of righteousness, but Christ, how are we singing it in the past? It's not by works of righteousness. So you can sing that song and say, it's not by righteousness. Yeah, but will you still do your part? How can everything in your life be just because Jesus did it for you? The one that Jesus is supposed to do, he has done it. He gave you righteousness by faith. But he now told you before he was going, say, watch and pray. You did not read that one. You build an entire church ministry on it's not by works of righteousness. Now, Satan has entered people's lives. Satan has entered people's home. People cannot pray because they believed a message where the pastor said, it's not by praying for 3 hours. Before you can say it's not by praying for 3 hours, you need to be praying 3 hours consistently to prove that it is not by praying for 3 hours. And I know what they are saying. It's not that they are wrong. They are trying to take people's confidence away from physical activity of trying to, like, I'm, you know, just wrap God's hand
like a criminal so that he must do whatever you want. I understand what they are saying. But what happens to those kind of truth is because they are on the edge of the cliff. It's very easy for anybody to listen to it and stop praying. Go and check any pastor that has a prayer life. He doesn't have many friends. Okay, let me bring it home. You start having a prayer life, you will not have many friends again. Because sometimes you want to be close to people, but your spirit will be repelling them. Your spirit will not agree with them. You may not even know why. In your own mind, you want them to be your friend. But your spirit is not allowing you because you are already on level 12. They are on level 3. You cannot come down. So let them go and play with those that are at level 3. Say after me, I will not neglect the place of prayer and spiritual discipline. Say it again, I will not neglect the place of prayer and spiritual discipline. Listen to me, Jesus said, if I do not watch and pray, I will fall. Not maybe. He said, I will fall into temptation. I will fall into trial. When I'm being challenged, when Satan is at my door, I will not be able to stand. That's what Jesus said. Before you come and challenge me, I want you to go and read Matthew chapter 26 verse 41, then come back and tell me that I'm wrong. How many points have I given us? Okay, our time is fast spent. Engaging in occultic or idolatrous practices. Engaging, I have about 7 points here. Maybe I should just stop here. Engaging in occult or idolatrous practices. Seeking power or knowledge outside of God is spiritual adultery. Please write that down. Seeking knowledge or power outside of Jesus is spiritual adultery. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. He said, you shall have no other gods before me. Exodus 23. Give me the King James. Thou shalt have no other gods. It's very easy for man to accumulate gods. That's what people don't know. Right now, you have people who come to church. I was with a woman of God this afternoon at Surulere. And we were just talking. She's a very elderly woman. And she started talking to me about how many can come to church today. And because they prayed, Jesus did not answer on time. Their friend, also in church, we tell them, Mama Prishi, is this how you are going to be looking at your son? What we want is for the boy to be well. I have somewhere I can take you to. Everything works together for good to those that love God. And you, your son is somewhere, you are praying, hey God, he my child. They will take you to one Baba. The Baba will own 7 candles. You that you use solar energy in your house, they will now own candle for you. You will now sleep in the middle of 7 candles. They will tell you, don't move. Yes, are you? Elijah. 79 times. Elijah. No, who is doing the counting? Elijah. Eli Urel. Urel is not an angel in the Bible. Hey! They call angel Urel. They are invoking demons to come and help you. Then when they are tired, they will cut some cane. They'll start flogging you. Say they want to flog all the devil out of your life. You just chop cane for nothing. Occult practices. Occult practices that are happening in church or places people call church. Or they take you somewhere, they give you a cloth and say this one, use it at 12. This particular one is 3 in the afternoon. They'll tell you, wrap it. Nobody must see it. They will tell all kind of weird things. And you, because what the pastor said, pastor gave you Bible verse. That one is not enough. You now went to Baba. Then I gave you different things. And they are not free. You know, Jesus said, have faith. But until you spend your money, you will not rest. So now, you now go to the other place. The man I prayed for that was looking for a child for 27 years. The man told me, he said, man of God. He said, Babalawo, he saw those idols. They know they do free work, oh. He told me in Pidgin English. Say they know they do free work, oh. Say those small smiders, where they see? Those small smiders. 500,000. 2 million. That's what they collect. I say, the idol, they chop money. He say, eh? He say, pastor. Now, he can't reach one level. I no can't get anything again. Those idol. He say, and if they call, he say, make you bring. And you no come. You never see solution, no? They go still tell you, say, the idol don't talk now. Say, make you bring. You go to borrow. Say, I started borrowing money. This is a dealer. A dealer in millions. With Dangote. Those idols. What was he looking for? A child. Just one. But the idol, now just to chop. That one, no. You know, you chop, 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 chop. No solution. If idol is hungry again, they will call him. You see all those ones that they will say, don't worry, just go. When the miracle is because you don't get money. When you have money, instantly, idol will be asking you 2.5. The idol is saying 2.5. But it's only that abalist that understands the language of that idol. Then you too, you will go home because you've paid. Hey, God, if this is the way you will use to answer me. Oh, God, if this is the way. A lot of Christians today are engaging in occult practices, palm reading. They read their palms, astrology. They listen to, say, if you can listen to this sound, you the vibration of this sound. I see them on Instagram. Ding, they will ring one bell. Ding, say, you will become a millionaire. I want to ask a question. If by ringing a bell, you can become a millionaire, why are you telling us? What are you planning to benefit by helping everybody become millionaires? Except that your soul is the price. Except that your soul is the price. Except that your soul. You too, you now went on Instagram. You say, let me even try it. Say, forward this thing to 200 people. If you do not forward it, something bad. Have you not seen those kind of messages? Oh, God. And you, instead of you to tell the person, don't ever send this thing to me again. I don't care if the person is your mother. Don't send this kind of thing to me again. You just say, let me be respectful. Respecting idols. They don't know respect. They see your respect as permission to encroach. Anytime they tell you, this water, you must drink it 12 midnight. You that normally when you sleep like a log of wood. Now, you have to wake up 12 midnight to drink. They say, when you drink, you must stand straight. That no drop must drop on the ground. You with all the Bible in your life, in your mind, in our caliber. Because you are looking for a child. And these things are with us. The only problem is that many of your friends who are involved, they will not tell you. They will not tell you. There's a particular cult that is popular now. They have a particular walking stick that they always wear to that they hold, and they when they go to events, that particular walking stick is unique. It has a particular signature on it, and how you will know that it's not an ordinary walking stick? Tell them, can I see this walking stick? Can I hold it? They will tell you no. And they gave them that thing deliberately with a ring. Wherever you go, if a fellow member sees you, they will know you. They will help you. And there are a lot of people, including pastors, in Nigeria. That's why they can't invite you to their event. They only invite some type of people. Before you allow one pastor, including myself, lay hand on you, check very well. Check very well. You can be initiated through laying of hands. Are you with me? God said, you shall have no other gods before me. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. If your parents call you and they tell you, oh, there's something we do in our family before you give birth, you must drink this water, you must eat this food, we must do this, tell them no. Tell them no. If they tell you before you marry, you must bring the girl home. She must spend 3 days in the family. For what now? If you give birth, your first child, you must... It is in Bidi City, I know, that even if you believe in God, if your family has a shrine in the family house, that's where they will do your naming ceremony. You can be a pastor. Nobody cares. That your pastor is in your pocket. Because many pastors are also coming there to collect power. I experienced it too when I went to Benin. When I was doing naming ceremony, they said, no, we'll do it at the family. Meanwhile, if you go to the family, see shrines everywhere. And the oldest person in the family warned that brother, say, you cannot go to church with this child. We'll do our own first before you. And you, after spending money and dancing before the shrine with your wife, you have presented that baby before a shrine, the baby that God gave you. Then you've forgotten. 20 years down the line, the child start having problem. You will never remember that there was a time you were dancing. You were dancing the dance of shame before idols. But nobody says it's just a family tradition before an idol. Tell your neighbor, stop the curse. Start the blessing. You stop the curse by taking deliberate decisions. Many of our parents are in church, but they still subscribe to many of those things. Some of you have friends who belong to occult groups like Hare Krishna, like Rosicrucian. They belong to Ekanka. And everybody is saying God, shouting God. But it's not the same God. And then you are in the same office. They say, we are all one in Christ. We are not one in Christ. They say, let us pray as one family. Sorry, we cannot pray as one family. There's somebody here that is not part of us. You want to be nice. You bring yourself under their command. I heard an occultist man say something. He said that they are given mandate to initiate people through handshake, and he said the number that they were given. This was many years ago. Then the pastor intervened and said, what if you run into a Christian during the day? He said, He said, if we run into a Christian and by mistake we shake his hand, he cancels all the initiation we have done that day. I say glory. But you are playing with your own prayer life. Did you hear that? That even if he's lying, but doesn't it make sense? He said, if I've shaken the hands of 100 men and registered them, giving them BVN, if I now meet a Christian by mistake who doesn't know, brother, how now today? How your family? Bam! Say that contact is strong enough to deregister all of them. That's how powerful you are. You are not listening to someone that says, don't pray. Don't fast. Okay, what are you doing? What is it exactly you are doing? You say you're a Christian. You are not praying. You are not fasting. You are not studying the word. You are not meditating. You are not fellowshipping with Christians. What exactly are you doing? So I want you to go home. There are so many points in this, but I'll just leave it here. But I want you to go and think about it. You may not have friends who are members of occult, but look at the other points like bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. What other point did I mention? Huh? Go, again? Sexual immorality. What else? What? Neglecting the discipline of prayer and fasting. And please tell your children to pray. Don't excuse them. Say you are praying for them. Let them pray. Because a day will come, you will not be there. I started praying 45 minutes at the age of 10. Every day. The way they are watching that video game is the way they will be praying. No, if you don't pray, no video game. When they grow up, they will thank you. Are you blessed tonight? A lot of Christians have broken the edge and they are praying and it seems as if there is spiritual leakage. But they are not aware that the prayer is not the problem. They are already exposed. And when you are already exposed, what's the point?
Do you know that the gift, the weapons of our warfare, we have from head to toe, but there's no weapon for the back. There's nothing covering the back. If you read Ephesians chapter 6, if you look very well at that scripture, there's nothing covering the back. And why is that? Huh? Why is that? Who can tell me why there's nothing, there's no weapon, there's no armor covering the back? Huh? You are not? There's no insurance. There is no insurance for any Christian that looks back or turns back. If you turn back, even the scripture talks, it says, my soul does not delight in those that turn back. But Busai also made a very important point. She said that God does not expect you to turn back in the day of battle. That's why there's no cover for the back. The person standing at the back is the Almighty God himself. He said, Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. The person behind you is God. He said, for you shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Where is the voice coming from? Behind you. So who is behind you? The voice of God. But when you turn back, you are exposed. No instruction, no direction. That's when you are praying. It seems the heaven is shut against you because you turned your back. I want you to pray for yourself this evening in 1 minute and ask the Lord to show you any area of your life where you have broken the edge or you are about to break the edge. I want you to pray for yourself and ask the Lord tonight to show you those areas so that you can work on them.